Welcome to the Futile Podcast. If you're listening to this, then you probably are fully aware that the fourth Terminator film, known as Terminator Resurrection, otherwise known as Call of Duty 6 Future War, just came out. It was directed by a little guy named Mick G, who directed the Charlie's Angels movies, most specifically Charlie's Angel Full Throttle, because they didn't have a sequel number for that either. They decided that if they quit doing the numbers, people are going to feel like they're not just getting a sequel or something, I guess.
That's dumb.
It's pretty dumb. Anyway, welcome to the Futile Podcast once again, and we are talking about the new Terminator film with Christian Bale, Chekhov, Sarge, I guess he's supposed to be Sarge. What's the name of the guy from Call of Duty? Or is that from Metal Gear War Solid 6, 5, where he's the big guy? Anyway, there's a big guy, and he's the main guy. And he's generic, and he keeps forgetting not to have his Australian accent every now and again.
Yeah, he pops in and out of it. Was he in a video game?
No, but this whole movie is essentially a video game, right?
You thought so?
Oh, totally. It was like cutscenes mixed with like mini-missions and stuff.
It was mini-missions, yeah.
And then there was a couple cutscenes, and then it kind of tied itself on
that thing. It was a good video game.
Well, it's going to be a video game. It's rated PG-13. It's going to sell toys and video games to kids. Because think about it. The unit price, you sell the DVD, you get $25, $30. You sell the Xbox game, the PS2 game, yeah. 3 game, whatever.
Lots of toys.
$50. Yeah. It's going to be a good haul for all who get involved. But we could talk about the actual movie, I suppose. This is taking place in 2018.
Yeah, let me ask you, did you watch the show at all? Recently canceled?
No.
You didn't? Okay.
I don't think it's supposed to have any continuity.
Well, they actually did work it so it's supposed to have a continuity with the rest of the series.
Oh, wow.
Because, you know, it's all something basically where, like, they would...
Did they kill his mom in the series? Is that what they did?
I don't know. I think that might have been their plan eventually. Didn't she end up dying of cancer or something? That's what they said in 3.
But then he said in 4, he said, "You killed my mom.
You tried to kill my mom."
Oh, was it you tried? Yeah. Oh, okay. And then you killed my dad, yeah. Arnold's back.
Yeah. In CGI form.
Yeah.
I actually thought the face of Arnold that they used looked like the fake one they had in Total Recall when he has the head and, yeah.
Get ready for a surprise.
Yeah.
Here comes Arnold.
Because anytime someone makes a fake head of Arnold, like, his eyes are all twisted. Like, it's weird. It should be pretty easy to make something look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. It looked decently like him. The body was way too... Well, I don't know. Arnold Schwarzenegger was never that tall.
That's probably it, yeah.
Yeah. But, I don't know. I was just wondering if... Because you seem to have watched a lot of TV shows, and I thought maybe you...
No, I could never get into that. I honestly am kind of over Terminator. I liked the first one and the second one. I didn't even see the third one all the way through ever. I saw parts of the end and thought, oh, this is all right. But as soon as Cameron stopped being really involved in it, I got that feeling of, oh, this is just one of those franchises that is going to drag out more and more. And I was feeling the same way about the idea of the fourth one until I heard, well, there was going to be mostly set in the future, which always seemed like it would be the cool place to do it. And then I heard that Christian Bale was going to be in it. And then I saw the trailer and I thought, oh, this looks so alright. This looks like it could be cool. And then I went and saw the movie and here we are. And now we can discuss that.
So what happens in this movie?
Well, God, I really don't want to get into the complexity and needless idiocy of the whole 2003 storyline that they started off with. This guy's basically about to get sent to the lethal injection, yeah. And he signs off his body to science, and it goes to Cyberdyne, and Cyberdyne was part of Skynet, and so on and so forth. Long story short, it gives him an excuse to have him become the new Terminator later on, which they reveal in the trailer such that it kind of completely it deflates any sort of tension and drama.
The dumbest thing I thought about the whole thing is that because you focus on this guy, it relegates the John Connor character to a side...
He's a B-story guy,
and he's basically just there to growl and look menacing. He almost becomes like an antagonist. He is an antagonist to this guy that you're following through most of the thing. But the guy that you're following, who would be the protagonist, is like... I don't know. He's meant to be kind of robotic and scowling, you know, because he is a robot. But he doesn't come across as someone who's like you really want to root for.
So you don't really care. You don't know him... From anybody, he's just this big guy. I'm like, they could have had John Cena play the role or something.
I don't know him from Adam, I'll tell you that.
That's for sure.
John Cena, my gosh, that would have been great.
Wouldn't that have been awesome?
Yeah. And they just had Rennie Harlan direct.
Uh-huh, yeah. It would have been probably better than this. It's in 2018 now. I'm trying to get the whole continuity worked out myself. Is the scenes from the first movie, what's the date? Is that 2025 or something? Supposed to be when he sends him into the past?
I don't remember.
But it's further in the future than what this is.
Which you're meant to know, because the kid who plays Kyle Reese is meant to be something around like the 17, 18
year old mark. And not like in his early 20s or whatever he's supposed to be in to the original Terminator. So the T-800, is that the one that... That's the newest model, presumably. That's the one that is the Arnold model in this. Yeah. So they don't have the 1000, they don't have the 3000X or whatever the hell it's called from 3. Mm-hmm. It's just called TX. So no liquid metal, nothing really cool there yet. They're just fighting the basic robots that walk around and that they shoot them with guns enough times and generally they die. Like I said, it really does play, for the most part, like a series of cutscenes and action mini missions through the whole thing. It's very much reminiscent of some kind of first-person shooter style. And they do that with the action sequences, which you said, I think they were pretty well executed.
I enjoyed
exciting.
The majority of the action sequences. The first couple that happen are pretty impressive. The first thing you see where they're attacking, it looks like it's a big satellite dish base in the underground section. That was really impressive looking. And then a really great shot is when Christian Bale gets into the helicopter and they go up with him and they fall around, and then he gets hit and they spin around with him and then it's upside down.
It totally reminded me from something like a video game.
But it was magnificently shot. Like, they really put a lot of care and detail into the choreography and the actual shooting of the action sequences.
That kind of confused me, though, because it seemed like he managed to get far enough away that, like, a mushroom cloud explosion took everybody else where he just was out. I just didn't get the impression that he was that far away, but... So I got a little confused with some of the action sequences, because there's so much stuff was happening.
So you were hoping that the action sequences in this thing about robots in the future were going to be more logical.
Well, I wanted logic, realism. I was hoping that there'd be a couple times where they just sit down at a diner, maybe.
If it was a logic thing, then they should have... The whole Terminator series should be, in the future, they have to play chess against robots.
Yeah,
if you can't win,
I'm hoping that's what the fifth one is. The fifth one is just a chess game.
Right.
Between some growly guy and a robot.
So, we were talking about this last night because we were kind of watching 3. I ended up falling asleep, 4 is over. But basically, every time, you know... Cameron started this. So in the first one, Kyle Reese ends up warding off, you know, fending off a Terminator to the point where she lives, therefore her son will live.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they make the second one, and the mom thinks Judgment Day's over. No, it was just postponed. The third one, he says, you know, John Connor again tells Terminator, hey, no, we canceled out Judgment Day. No longer has to happen. And he says, no, it was just postponed again. Basically, like, giving them the endless excuses to do this. The time travel thing becomes really problematic because...
It does. They answered it even in the first one, though, because Reese just said, I went through, followed it, and then they blew up, they torched the whole thing. They established in the first movie that in the future, they had won the war at that moment. That was like the final assault. They sent one of the 800s through the time in the time machine, and he followed, and then they bombed everything, and basically they were going to go, well, if we could take this guy out, then you won't have won the war. And that was the internal logic within the first movie. Now, in the second one, they somehow came up with, well, I guess there's another time machine. I never was really clear on if they bothered to even explain that.
And there was an enclave of robots still left, and they sent this more advanced
one. Yeah, and they had to there's always another spot, I guess.
Whatever. I mean, by that point, the third one, they tried to then fudge it by saying, because those first two times happened, it kind of changed the future to the point where, you know, it hadn't won the war. But then that raises the problem of the fact that if the future's changed at all, then you won't have the exact the exact things happening where Kyle Reese probably couldn't have been able to follow the first Terminator. And so it becomes a huge paradox.
Oh, yeah, that's time travel.
But it's better not to think of that.
Yeah.
It's really not, I mean, overall, it's really not the major problem with the lesser of the Terminator films or series or whatever you have. You know, the first two, the first one's just is a pretty kind of sleek, compact.
The first one's not sleek, it's pretty dirty, but
it's compact, though. It's just like, gets to its point and
it's efficient,
and then it's over. And it's basically, you know, it's It's a pared down thing. The second one totally expands on the whole thing and makes it kind of like a big epic.
Did you feel that the second one was kind of slow in spots? I always remember, whenever I feel that movie, I feel like I have to take time to watch it.
It's longer.
Yeah, it feels to me like it's too long. I don't know why. I think Cameron just takes his time a few times. And
I read a couple of reviews that I have to agree with on this fourth one where they complain that, you know, for all the ingenuity they come up with various action scenes and so forth, they still feel necessary to end it in, like, a smelting plant, like, which they've done.
Yeah, every single one. It calls back to that, yeah.
It's dumb.
And the one-arm gun thing and everything. I don't give them too much grief for doing callbacks like that to the
other episodes in the series. But it becomes stale by the fourth time you see it. And, you know, the action was great.
Well, wait, there was no smelting plants in the end of the third one. It was at, like, the base,
The base. So they kind of deviated there. But I also think they felt that was the least successful of all three. So they thought, you know what, we'll get back to the smelting plant.
Everyone likes that. Everyone loves the liquid nitrogen and the smelting plant and everything.
So, I don't know. You know, this one had a few things against it in that, from the start, you don't have a primary antagonist. Like, in all, you know, the first three, the basic thing is a bad guy sent back. A good guy follows and protects the kid or whoever it is.
There it goes, yeah.
And that's the thing. And there's a main bad guy the whole time. We've got to get away from this unstoppable force. There's nothing like that in this. It's a different type of thing.
There's an unseen
enemy blanketing the world, and they're kind of fighting in pockets of it. But there's not a primary antagonist until they introduce the Arnold thing, which, you know, just so they don't have to worry too much about the Arnold face, they blow it up pretty quickly so he just becomes a robot. But he's in, what, like 10 minutes of the movie, something like that? That antagonist is?
That one robot?
Yeah.
I guess. I even lost track of if it was the same robot. I guess it's the same one. But it didn't matter.
It was way beefier and bulkier than the other ones.
I guess so, yeah.
Whatever. But the real problem, besides that, is... Well, okay, there's two more real problems. The other one was that the acting was pretty much terrible all the way through. Worthington, Bale, Helena Bonham Carter. It was all just a bunch of blustery people.
Common was good.
Who?
Common?
Common sucks. Yeah, that guy is an awful actor. People seem to think that because someone raps and they have stage presence, that means they can act. And so, I just don't get it.
I concur.
All you have to do to become an actor is to become a successful musician, it seems like. You know, that's really all you have to do.
Talk to Keanu Reeves, right?
Whatever. So, Bale just is just kind of growly, blustery.
I think a lot of the filmic problems, like you're talking about there, the acting, some of the like editing and the way it was paced and stuff, is that all on McGee's head? Is he just not a good
the
director?
Acting is on McGee's head,
yeah,
for sure.
But do you know what I mean about some of the way the pacing, especially at the part where the manimator or whatever you want to call him, the man machine. Is with the pilot and then she's about to get attacked by those guys and stuff. Those scenes are kind of like. They kind of, I don't know, there's moments, they're not well edited.
I didn't have a problem with pacing so much. I felt that the main detractors were, the actual dialogue itself was horrendous. It was one cliche line after another.
Oh, yeah.
Not even from the Terminator films, which they did throw a bunch of those in, but also from any action movie ever. If you aim a gun at someone, you better be able to pull the trigger,
mm-hmm.
which has been in, I don't know how many Charles Bronson movies, probably. But, it just full of stuff like that. Just horrendous dialogue.
What do we know about these writers, these guys? It's another two dudes, right? Is that the way they roll with action movies now? They get two hacks together and they look at old Mystery Science Theater movies and they'd be like, maybe we could have like do a real version of this and have Michael Bay direct it, and we keep Peter Graves out of it and it should be okay, right?
Right. I don't know. I think the antagonist, the acting, the dialogue, just all just really kind of terrible, and it takes away from the fact that it's a pretty decent action film, I felt like. And it was, I think they really desperately wanted it to be like the change from Alien to Aliens. Like, you know what, we can, you know, now that we have tons of Terminators at our disposal, we can just throw waves of these robots at them. That's interesting. But it's not.
No, it's not. Fun. It's not at all. The chase element is still sort of there in some of those scenes, but like you said, the direct antagonist and the I mean, that was what was going on with even the third one, is they raised the stakes. They made the antagonist that much more difficult to overcome. In this case, it was just a matter of size and scope. It was just like, well, now there's a bunch of them, and shoot a bunch of them and blow them up.
You gotta deal with bureaucracy before you can.
Yeah, there's that, and
the humanistic approach.
The war story element, that, which is all relegated to a B story in favor of, like you said, this A story with the uncharismatic guy who they completely. I mean, I just don't get that. They did that in Star Trek where they showed Spock beat up Kirk. And then they in the trailer, and then they do it in the Terminator trailer. They give away that the guy's a robot. I mean, why would you do that?
I don't know.
I saw the trailer and thought, oh, this looks cool. There's going to be an element of it where it's like, oh, this one guy is a robot. But I thought that would be maybe the B story. Instead, they make that the A story, and the first hour of it is completely lacking in suspense because you know that he's a robot. He doesn't know it yet. Yeah. You know, Reese doesn't know it yet.
It's just a problem because the whole point of the whole series of Terminator is about John Connor.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about how he, being the leader of the resistance, must survive because he's the one who wins the war against the machines.
And the whole thing about this one is they could have really played more on the whole idea of him dealing, you know, the whole fate garbage and all that stuff. You know, Michael Ironside's there, and he's like, you know, you're prophesied to be the leader, which I guess, who would have done that? John Connor showed up one day and said, hey, I'm
the leader.
I'm Private John Connor, and according to
what happened in my past when robots were sent back to help me,
I have no real evidence of. So I don't know. I'd give this a 2 out of 5, probably. I mean, because that, like you said, the action set pieces are pretty good, but the whole thing is kind of pretty meh. And it's a little on the long side, even though it is pretty fast.
I didn't think it was over long. I just don't like the things where, you know, the final scene of the movie is they're in this tent in the desert
with the open heart surgery.
Somebody's getting you know, surgered upon,
mm-hmm.
And in the background, standing in a line, is all the primary characters. Right. Did you notice that? They're just like...
They're like twisting their hats.
Yeah, but the dumb thing is that, like, even though those are the primary characters, they weren't, like, important enough... Some of them weren't important enough people to be there. Like,
It's common.
But, like, seriously, you know, I've noticed that what they do is, you know, you can only pay so many actors to speak. The ones who don't speak, you don't have to pay as much. It's a SAG deal.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the scene where they go off to the gas station... And there's the old woman and the Jamaican man. There's 50 other people there, but no one says anything except for the old woman and the Jamaican man, just because they want to pay those two. So, like, it's almost like at the end, you're like, here's the remaining people who spoke in the movie.
Yeah.
Give them, you know...
Was the old woman there?
A tip to the cap. No, I don't know what happened to her.
She got to the transport.
Yeah. They showed her escaping. Yeah, she should have been there then.
Yeah. That whole part seemed like that was going to be more important.
There's a cute kid for the all the children to aspire to be like.
That doesn't talk.
I want to be mute like that kid and push a button and crush a Terminator.
Uh huh.
It was like that kid from Mad Max.
That was all right. It was the little references for all that kind of stuff. Post-apocalyptic.
You got your various leads. You know how, like, when they end up casting, they have to go through an entire script, mm-hmm. and they figure out who's the...
Who's the sassy woman.
Well, not that, but there's actual names. There's the A-lead, there's the second lead, there's all that stuff. And you give them... It's just such a robotic script. I hate to use that word for this, but it's...
it's a mechanical script? Would that
it's
make
a mechanical
you
script. And you... Each of the leads in that you know, fall down one after another, each have something they're trying to earn, and it gets down to the weakest point where the Kyle Reese character, whatever his name is, tells his name
Anton Yelchin,
and he's even got some dumb kind of arc, which is like, oh, I haven't earned that resistance patch yet, and then at the end he's like, hey, you can take the resistance patch if you want, you know,
yep.
You've kind of earned it now, I guess, because you
and Ronnie Howard's daughter was pregnant the whole time,
even though
she just showed up on the chopper and everything.
Yeah. But she's actually, I mean,
was she supposed to be the Claire Danes character,
yes.
just aged up? They kind of never really referenced
never
that at all,
name,
did they?
They
yeah, she's Kate. They said her name a few
they
times.
They said her first name, yeah.
Kate.
Kate what?
She's Kate, whatever she, so what was she in 3? I don't know, Kate something.
Brewster or something like that, yeah.
Great Kate Brewster's Millions.
Yes, Brewster.
And, yeah, she's there, and...
And Coleman just wanted revenge for his brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder what that was, maybe why they did that with the other, with the A story. Not to me about Terry Crews, I'm just trying to figure that out.
I don't know. Yeah, because honestly, Sam Worthington was the A lead, and the B lead was John Connor, who
mm-hmm.
was Christian Bale, who I'm sure got paid like $15 million to be in this.
Well, maybe they paid him $14 million and they made his part smaller, and that was what, like you said, they just gave him less scenes and made it less important, I guess.
But I mean, he's the, you know, he's the megastar, and Sam Worthington's a pile.
I know, and but that's the thing nowadays, right? Is you want your big guy to be the lead because he's the awesome guy that everybody wants to be when they're playing Call of Duty and Gear of War 5 or whatever.
You really got a problem with Call of Duty, don't you?
No, I got a problem with all those games where it's just generic. I mean, you got generic big guy, and now you're gonna go buy the game so you can play generic big guy.
You haven't sat and watched a Call of Duty.
I know.
It's not even Call of Duty.
It's not even close.
I know.
Gears of War is like that. Call of Duty, you play something like 4 different characters per game because you're just a soldier, and usually they end your story by you got killed, and then it goes to like, hey, here's a Russian. Let's see how
you play Russian.
Yeah,
you play. And do you each have little mini goals like getting that red patch and everything?
No, you have no personal goals. You're doing it for the good of the state. Not the good of the thing. You're a soldier and you're trying to stop like a nuclear explosion from happening. And
good.
You're trying to hunt down.
Yeah, well, that's probably it's probably an inappropriate reference then. But I mean, some of those FPS video games is certainly what they're marketing to with this particular film. They've cut the heart and the soul out of Terminator, pun intended, and they've decided to just cram it in wherever they think it'll fit.
It was an ill-designed thing. It was ill-designed.
Well, they're trying too hard to like bring back Terminator. Like all
yeah,
the
I mean, they,
and shit.
They're
like
they're,
the dialogue.
Yeah.
So like,
they're just desperate. They were just desperate to make a Terminator movie and get some money. You know, that's all what it came down to.
And the toys look like shit.
Yeah, the toys aren't cool. I've looked at them where I work a few times, and they're right next to the Star Trek toys, which look even worse.
Yeah, the Star Trek toys are made by some company that's never...
Yeah, and they're so generic and awful-looking.
Well, I gotta wonder why there's even a market for action figures anymore for kids. How many kids play with those anymore if they just go straight to video games, you know what I mean?
I think kids do still. Yeah, the video games have really kind of taken a big bite out of the toy.
I would imagine
thing,
so.
Like the physical toys. But I mean, that's considered the toy industry still.
I know.
Video games, so... It's booming more than ever, but the tastes change, you know?
But, I mean, the overhead on manufacturing, say, like, quality action figures is probably so... certainly defeats, you know, the manufacturing cost
right,
of
no.
a video game where you know more
the
people are going to buy that, and your profit ratio is probably a lot higher.
The video game after the production of the actual game is something like $3 a disc, and considering that they end up making...
The unit cost is $50 or
something. Well, the unit cost is generally... for the $60 games we have... the unit cost is something like 45.
Oh, wow.
So, the manufacturer is getting that money.
Oh.
And giving most of that to the distributor and all that stuff, or whoever owns the rights to all of it. So the store is making a small chunk of the profit. You know, the manufacturer is making a small chunk of the profit. But yeah, there's a huge amount of money made on DVDs. But video games especially. The DVDs, you know, the overhead is even less, but...
Well, yeah, and nowadays you gotta do... I mean, they've totally found the formula with this PG-13 action bullshit. You simmer it down so that then the sanctimonious dads can take their kids to see it and not feel like it's too bad. And then the kids...
Kids can see it on their own.
Kids can see it... Well, even little kids, you know, like the younger than 13.
They can get in. The only one that needs any sort of parental...
it's just like a
person
suggestion.
There is, yeah, it's a PG-13 is a suggestion.
Parental
guidance
suggested. Okay, yeah. Well, anyway, the whole reason they're doing that is, like, totally to push it on kids. And then they can do the turnaround. Will it release the DVD with the hardcore uncut version? Which, now they're saying uncut rather than R, because then it doesn't even have to be
because
R.
Because, no, then you don't have to give it to the MPAA, and so...
Well, and then it doesn't even have to actually be as high as R would be if
the
MPAA rated.
A lot of times it's
extra
less
scenes,
so.
And it's longer, and it's boring.
There's an unrated version of Pearl Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
And, and here's all they added. There's a couple of scenes when they're blowing up the base in the beginning. The Japanese are kind of flying through and strafing everything.
You see some guys in suits running on fire.
They kept like basically a solid minute of people's bodies being shredded and mutilated and eviscerated and heads exploding and stuff like that. And so then when they're making it, they're like, you know, let's make this PG-13. So they just cut that like 1 minute out. And then suddenly you got a PG-13 because they didn't add any swearing, they didn't add any sex, anything like that, you know, so. I tried to watch that the other day, and it was just horrendous.
I've never seen... I think I saw the first minute of Pearl Harbor or something.
Pearl Harbor sucked. I love you.
You know, the big criticism on it is that they took this, like, epic, like, historical event, and they basically turned it into a trite, melodramatic love story.
Well,
a soldier.
Roger Ebert has a really famous review of it where he says Pearl Harbor is about... you know, whatever, what day was it in
1941? December 7th,
1941, when the entirety of the Pacific Japanese forces bombed a love triangle in Hawaii. Because, like, the, you know, it's like the focus is on this terrible, stupid love triangle between two best friends and Kate Beckinsale.
And then isn't there a really embarrassing quote by Brockheimer talking about how, you know, with certain movies, you know, you take some, take a little thing and you got to make it big and great. And it's like really a little thing like the event of Pearl Harbor.
Yeah, a little thing like the most world-changing event of the world.
The 20th century, let's say. Yeah. I think we know what the 21st might be. But that's still young. And maybe the rise of the machines will happen after all.
There's not going to be no rise of no machines.
Well, we'll
see. Zombie apocalypse
yeah. is more likely, I think.
Well, that's already happened. That's with the youth of America, right?
Whoa.
Oh.
Hey. I'm getting a little edgy there.
It's some harsh social commentary.
I know. I'm like, I'm Hobbes over
kids
here.
These days.
I'm Hobbes, yeah. right?
Kids these days. No mm-hmm. respect for their elders.
Nope.
I bet you had no respect for your elders because you probably thought you were better than them.
Well, but I was.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they were doddering. I'm like,
they were doddering?
No, I don't have time for this doddering.
Right. Anyway, so I'm on the fast track to success. Get out of my way, old man.
Yep. How'd that work out for me, right?
Pretty good.
Yeah. So what do you give it? I give it a 2 out of 5.
I'll give it probably a 2.5. Just because I thought the... visually and action-wise, pretty decent. They did the old Die Hard 4 thing, like you said, where there was a guy trying to crawl up a fence, and the T-600 that has a massive Gatling gun built into its arm blasts the guy for a second, and he just kind of goes...
Yeah, he dies like it's fucking Good and the Bad and the Ugly or something.
Pretty much.
No, and that's just sorry that they even bother with that kind of stuff. And you gotta wonder, they're all just feeling ashamed, they're all just doing it for the big old paycheck.
Do it for the almighty dollar, unlike any other filmmaker in
history. Yeah, but there's the thing. Like, Terminator 2 was R, right?
That's because back then you could make money doing that.
Yeah, and you can't make money doing it now?
Not as much.
Because of the video game tie-in, or because the little kids aren't going to see it? Yeah, what? Because the sanctimonious dads aren't going to let their kids see it?
Tie-in, exactly.
I just don't know. I don't get it.
Think about how much money G.I. Joe would make if it was PG-13 compared to NC-17.
Well, NC-17 is different. That's usually what you give
somebody. No, but it's not, because NC-17 you cannot see, even with a parent, unless you're at least 17.
Mm-hmm.
That erases the whole demographic of toy buyers. The whole point is buying toys. That's the whole point of making a movie, is for people to buy your merchandise.
Yeah, the merc. Yeah, I getcha. With the blockbusters, I guess. Yeah.
No, any movie, man. Remains of the Day lunchboxes.
Good point.
Right?
Good point. Well, that's a nice little final thought, I guess.
My Dinner with Andre action figures.
But you can't use him to play Princess Bride.
No. What?
Well, that guy was in Princess Bride.
Yeah, right. They were both in Princess Bride.
Were they?
Yeah.
Andre the Giant was.
Yeah. I thought you were talking about Christopher Guest. And no. Wallace Shawn.
No, I'm just talking about Wallace Shawn.
Because Christopher Guest was in it also.
Where was he in it?
He was in Six Fingered Man.
Oh, I haven't seen the movie in a while.
Oh my gosh. You don't know your Princess Bride?
Apparently not.
Very well.
I have a crappy version of it on my video iPod, just in case I were stuck somewhere with nothing to do for an hour.
So don't watch it until then.
No, I won't.
Right.
I got
maybe
Ice
you should
Pirates.
Get it on Blu-ray.
I got Ice Pirates on it, too. Well, maybe I should get both of those on Blu-ray, though.
Alright, so...
So that's that.
Terminator. they wasted Terry Crews, man.
That's right. He was in there.
He was laying on a rock, dead. And I was like, ah, oh, Terry Crews. I hope he pops up alive. And they're like, nah, he just laid.
It's President Camacho. He sacrificed himself that time. He pulled a Bill Pullman.
He's going to fix the economy.
He pulled a Bill Pullman and decided to go lead the strike force that time, and it didn't go so well.